The 6-1 seems a little aggressive.
If we win 4 or fewer, I will end my life. If we win fewer than 4, I'll take everyone with me as well. So everyone in this room and me.
On 1340 WKGN.
So hopefully we don't win 3. You guys better hope we do better than 3-9, or we're all in trouble then.
Hour 3 kicking off here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Hour 3 headlines. What do you got, Cody?
Thanks, John. The Texas Rangers have fired their manager, Chris Woodward, amid a season of dissatisfactory progress. The Rangers fire their manager.
What are you talking about?
Dissatisfactory progress? That's quite a euphemism.
Never heard
of that
before.
I think that just means no progress, doesn't it? We're sorry, but your progress is dissatisfactory. Sounds like he just wasn't getting the job done. Why do we have to have a euphemism for everything now?
Why can't they just say he's a loser?
Why
do we even have to try to put anything nice out at all? Just be like, see our record? This isn't working.
Yeah, they should just bring him into their office and say, you are a loser. You're 51-63 in the AL West. They're third place right now in the AL West. Yeah, they're 51-63, so they canned him. So I guess for all the Texas Rangers fans listening, that's significant news.
Can we get an update on, like, your baseball fandom? You still a Dodgers guy?
Yeah. Yeah.
You been paying attention?
Yeah. I mean, the Dodgers are probably still, second or third best record right now. The Mets are really good this year for some reason. And the Yankees, obviously.
Yeah, the Dodgers, I want to say they're the best record, aren't they?
I think so. No,
they're right
they
there.
The Yankees,
they're right there with the Mets.
The Yankees have been stinking. Yeah, the Dodgers are 79-34, so they got a nice little, looks like a 5-game lead on the Mets right now. They've been really good.
Yeah, I mean, they're stacked like they have been the last 4 or 5 years. It's just a matter of postseason. I mean, you know, baseball, right? That's what they say, baseball. I remember everybody kept telling me that.
Did you get to celebrate the COVID championship?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Yeah, you thought that was a real
huge.
How did that make you feel, the COVID championship?
I actually did watch a lot.
For the Dodgers and Lakers both to get a COVID championship. And Tom Brady, what a trio for you. And your Alabama, your other favorite team. Like, four of your teams won a COVID championship with big asterisks next to it, but they all 4-1.
Hang on. First of all.
Your Rams won last year?
First of all, I
Bears
I've never had
suck, though,
a lot of.
To be honest, the Bears.
Yeah, I did have a little time where I liked the Bears.
Bears kind of suck.
Well, I grew up in a rural area. I've never had a lot of allegiances to, like, so my teams come and go. But I've stuck with the Dodgers. It's been at least 4 seasons.
I was
I've
just
watched
asking
the Dodgers.
If you got to celebrate the COVID championship.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you feel like it was a little cheapened since it was COVID?
A little bit. And same with LeBron. Yeah. You know, and I'm not a Lakers fan. It's just where I like. You know, LeBron's best player in the league, so, like, I just watch where he plays. Like, his – I mean, I'm sure he's not the best player in the league now, but
– Yeah.
I just – you know, he's the most famous, like – he draws me to the TV, basically. Same with Brady. Draws me to the TV. That's why I like watching him. It's not I'm a fan.
Any update on who you're going to be rooting for in the NFL this year? Are you going to wait for the season to kind
of – Well, the Rams
the
won the championship, so who will I be for this year? Probably just going to have to see through about 6 games how things are looking.
I could see your eyes lighting up when I was talking about Josh Allen trying to get over the hump, so I wasn't sure.
I like watching the Bills play.
Yeah.
They've got a good, passionate fan base.
When I was in
Nashville, I watched some Titans.
Okay.
I got behind the Titans a little bit, you know, because –
Did it hurt you when you lost to the Bengals? Or?
Well, it's just cool because, like, you run into people. Like, mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're in a city and you just run into a guy and he's wearing, like, a Eddie George jersey or whatever, he's like –
Hit him with the Titan up.
He's like, how about them Titans, man? No, like, they just initiate it.
Yeah.
Like, guys like that. They're, how about them Titans, man? I'm like, I mean, I could be a Colts fan for all they know, but they don't care.
That's disgusting.
You know, and I'm like, yeah, Titans, man, cool.
I didn't know if you got around to saying Titan up or not.
I'm not a big catchphrase guy.
Okay. So you don't hit people with Go Vols when you see them?
No, God, no.
GBO?
No. Maybe younger me. Not anymore. I've evolved.
That'd be pretty chuggy.
That's too chuggy for me.
Too chuggy of you to hit the Titans up.
I have evolved. Speaking of evolving, Aqib Talib's brother is wanted in a shooting death of a youth football coach. The brother of the retired corner, Aqib Talib, identified by police as a suspect in a shooting death of a youth football coach. I guess things weren't going well in the game. I saw
the story or the headline.
Oh, yeah, it was at a game, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the story or the headline over the weekend, and then I saw that an NFL player was linked to it, like a family member. I didn't know it was Talib.
You know what Aqib's brother's name is?
It's something similar to Aqib, isn't
Yaqub.
It?
Yaqub.
Oh, it's not similar.
Yaqub Talib.
Do we have the story here?
Cam, do you have the story? It's right here on ESPN.com.
Do you have the story of what happened, though? Like,
I haven't seen the exact situation
right
that like led to the shooting.
Okay.
Would you like to know?
You have the details of the story?
I have it right here.
Mm. Well, yes, I would like to know.
Okay. Yaqub Salik Talib is suspected in a Saturday night shooting, so that's when it occurred, that killed a man, police in Dallas said. They've not yet identified the man, but family and friends say he was the youth football coach.
It was Michael Hickman.
Okay.
All right.
But we don't have the details of, like, why he did it. That's what I was asking for.
Yeah, Dallas, they say. Yeah, so, Mike Hickman.
Like in an argument.
It was an argument during.
He went to pick up a football and someone kicked it away.
Okay. The coach that got killed kicked it away? Or I had two coaches get into a fist fight during my championship when I was 6 years old.
Yeah, Dragons present. So the youth
in the back of the head hit the other one.
What happened?
One of the coach's sons was the quarterback. The other coach's son was a running back, and they were arguing over, you know, basically.
Who should have the ball?
Basically that, and, like, you know, it came over a first down at one point. Like, one of the guy's son was, you know, ran and dove out of bounds, and one coach is like, it's a first down. The other one's like, no, it's not. And then afterwards, like, I told you, I don't know which one was right. And then they got into an argument, and they broke it up, and as one guy turned around and walked off, the other one came and punched him in the back of the head, and they got into a big brawl.
Yeah.
Then the newspaper said we had to forfeit the game. We won the game on the field. They made us finish the game, but then they said we forfeited, so we didn't get crowned champions. Then I quit football.
The Lion Media.
I quit football for about 7 years after that. I was just it was too much to have.
Too much drama.
Too much.
Too much.
Too much investment. You know, I just felt betrayed by the coaches. You know, just the paper writing that we lost. And I said, no, I'm not. I'll play for championships, Cody. You know what I mean? Like, I'm out here trying to get championships.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. That's what I was just thinking. Couldn't have been my youth football team.
Yeah, I play for championships.
We were unbeaten.
Well, we were too. Except the game we had to forfeit because my coach punched the other one in the back of the head.
Yeah.
That's the only one we lost.
Funny how your youth football team, your coach's kids were also quarterback and running back.
Well,
same as mine.
Like,
the youth football coach never makes his son like a right guard.
Yeah,
you know,
he's not going to be the lineman. No,
he always gets the ball.
Yeah, yeah. Which I mean, I will say credit to them. They were the two best athletes on the team. Probably.
Okay, I was wondering if they just were terrible. And they're like, here, you still.
No, they were good. They were good.
Those days were fun, though, because that was before, like, any safety measures. You could still headhunt.
Yeah.
You know?
Before we even had weight limits. Like, so you could have a big old boy with the ball back then, which, I mean, we was a little too young for that. But
even when I was playing high school ball, that was right before the, like, concussion stuff started. So, like, we could headhunt.
I saw on Twitter, you know, someone circulating an Eric Berry highlight video. And
oh, yeah.
Speaking of headhunting, I mean, like.
Yeah. Pretty rough.
Yeah. I mean, one of his most famous hits, you know, was headhunting, would have been targeting, and the Tebow play, both guys headhunting. It was kind of makes you cringe, though, watching it.
Yeah, not me.
Not you?
I love that stuff.
Okay.
I mean, you need a few good neck injuries every now and then. It's like just to remind you of the danger of the game.
Sure.
That's why, like, I won't go into my whole thing from the past about these guys are warriors, but, like, that's kind of what you want out of your – like heroes, your athletes, those Ray Lewis videos, Ed Reed, guys like that. Like, that's why they're your heroes, because they're warriors. Anyway, so yeah, this happened when the apparently the Dragons, that was the team president, I guess the youth team has a president, said the dispute began when Hickman went to pick up a football and then someone kicked it away. Somehow or another, that led to murder. So,
how old are those kids?
Around 9, 8, somewhere in there. So,
if I still remember my coach beating my other coach's ass when I was 6 years old, imagine like how those kids are going
to
feel.
Well, that's what this Freeman guy. He says, "I don't know how to explain it to the kids. That's the part I'm stuck on. How do I explain it to them? This is something they will remember for the rest of their life." Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
They're going to need PTSD counseling.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty crazy thing to see.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I remember just a fight from that many years ago.
Yeah, watching your coach get murdered would be crazy to see, but maybe not as crazy as watching Albert Pujols homer twice as he closes in on Alex Rodriguez on the career home run list, helping lift the Cardinals over the Brewers Sunday night. Albert Pujols homered twice. Do you think he'll get to the? Do you think he'll get to A-Rod? Do you think he'll catch him?
How many away is he? Oh, you don't have that number. No, I don't think he's going to get
there. Hang on. He hit a solo shot in the second, three-run drive in the eighth. He's got 689 career homers. That was his 63rd career. Time and Willie Mays. He's fourth on the career homer list behind, can you name the three ahead of him?
Oh, man. So Bond's ahead of him.
Well, hang on. He's fourth.
But A-Rod's not four. Number one. A-Rod's in third, right? A-Rod's not past Bond.
I thought A-Rod was fourth.
What are you doing here? Can you read?
He's fifth. This ESPN article has it wrong.
So A-Rod's fourth.
A-Rod's fourth, yes. Okay. He's got 696, so Pujols probably going to catch him.
I had this trivia question not too long ago, and I nailed it. Doing it on the air is going to be a little bit different.
You just need the top three.
Yeah, yeah. Bonds is one, correct?
Yep, 762.
Aaron's number two.
Yep, 755.
Is Ruth third?
Yeah, Babe's third.
Okay. Nice. And then you said A-Rod and Pujols.
Yeah. Hey, you nailed it.
He's seven home runs back, yeah.
Look at the big brain.
He's seven home runs back, but no, I don't think Pujols is catching him then. I don't think he'll hit seven more the rest of the year. I mean, I don't think that's a hot take. I mean, the year is almost.
No, yeah. He's not been.
I mean, we're going 40 games left. I mean, hitting one every seven or eight games is going to be tough.
Yeah, two yesterday.
How many is he up for? How many is he up to on the year?
Like 12.
Yeah, like.
How cool would that be, if you were a Cardinals fan, to be at that game?
No, that would be cool, and, like, it's cool to even see him back there watching. I mean, I feel like his season is better than we thought. Only 10 home runs, but I think him even batting 249 is a pretty big accomplishment because, I mean, it's higher than I thought he would bat. And it's actually getting better. Like, he's on a little bit of a hot streak. He went 4-for-5 the other day against the Rockies. I think that's cool, I mean, to let him go out as a Cardinal, and it looks like they're going to win the division. Have a chance in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of cool. But no, I don't think he's hitting seven more. Which is kind of sad because I think everyone likes Albert Pujols much more than they like Alex Rodriguez.
People
don't like A-Rod.
He doesn't poll well?
He's probably in a weird place now where people probably don't dislike him because he's kind of charming on TV and like does the Peyton's. The Manning cast version of baseball and like, but when he played, I mean, people hated him. He was a cheater.
Because he was with the Yankees.
It didn't help. Like, Yankees fans hated him for a long time.
People like Jeter.
No, I said cheater.
Oh,
not Jeter. Cheater.
He played with Jeter.
He played with Jeter, and everyone liked Jeter more. And then Pujols choked until that really random postseason when he was like having sex with Kate Hudson, and then all of a sudden he was like really clutch and like became a Yankee, and they won a World Series, and everyone's like, "Wow, look at this A-Rod!" And then he got in trouble again for cheating, and then like had a they pretty much paid him to go away at the end of his career.
I didn't know people didn't like A-Rod,
which is always funny because everyone loves David Ortiz, but also a cheater.
How's he doing? I remember the last time I was on the air, he got beat up or something.
He got shot, I'm pretty sure.
things were looking pretty grim for him for a while.
He's alive.
He's in the Hall of Fame, isn't he?
He's in the Hall of Fame. He's alive. He's still on TV. Big Poppy's doing all right.
Well, another guy who's still alive and on TV, barely, President Biden, not running for president again, according to Democratic Representative Carolyn Maloney of New York. She thought she was off the record when she said this, and apparently she was on the record.
Oh, wow.
And she said that he's not running for president again. And we actually have some audio of Biden's response to the allegation that he's not running for president again. Cam, if you could go ahead and play that. Yeah. Who are you people and where's my horse? That was President Biden when asked about running for president for a second term.
Go back to headlines. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. This segment is brought to you by our friends at Craft Axe Throwing. Make plans to go hang out with them on their college night, Wednesday, August 31st. You get 25% off for wearing your favorite college gear. I'm assuming that's going to be a bunch of power tees in there throwing axes. Feel bad for any ops that come in there in Gators gear.
Yeah, while we have an axe in our hands.
While there are axes there. 25% off, though. Just wear your favorite college gear on Wednesday, August 31st. That is the night before, the day before, Tennessee takes the field for the first time. Craft Axe Throwing is located minutes from downtown Knoxville on West 5th Avenue. Make sure to tell them that we sent you. Going to put together a little listener event. So go throw some axes and people can come see Cody for the first time in a while. Get back out with the people.
Go see the public again.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. We're on commitment watch. We're on announcement watch today as Jordan Matthews, four-star defensive back from Baton Rouge, is making his decision. At the top of the hour, the drive will have the update there. Everybody's picking between Tennessee and Texas. No real feel for what's going to happen here. I think if I had to bet, I would bet Texas, but apparently the Texas people feel like Tennessee is trending in the right direction, so one that could go down to the last minute, literally. Tennessee scored a recruiting win over Georgia yesterday for Ricky Gibson III. A low-ranked guy, but I mean, I know it's what we always say when you get a low-ranked guy, but...
But the offer list.
The offer list. But, I mean, like, it did seem like it is somebody that Georgia really wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if you're going up against Georgia for defensive backs and winning, that seems like, you know, obviously a success. He had just picked up an Auburn offer at the beginning of the month. You beat Arkansas, Penn State as well. So it felt like a nice win for Ricky Gibson III.
Can you tell me what's going on in
I hope so.
Our recruiting? You know, I know we've got a lot of momentum and we're hot and like the money and everything.
Yeah.
Are we just slinging cash?
You know, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I know when we get somebody, everyone talks about the NIL money. I also think there's some playing opportunity for some of these defensive guys, right, to come in here and make an impact on defense pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Offense, I think you could easily explain it and also say, like, hey, if I'm a quarterback or a wide receiver, like, I feel like I could put up some pretty big stats here in Josh Heupel's offense. So I'd say it's a little bit of everything. Our NIL money is the best, though. Like, our collective is always getting credit for being kind of industry leading. So
I just noticed, like, the comments I've seen from coaches are always from schools that you wouldn't expect to be that you wouldn't expect to have the biggest budgets. Like Mack Brown, Lane Kiffin, you know, North Carolina, Ole Miss. They're always kind of complaining about how now it's just, well, whoever has the heaviest bag, you know.
Which is funny for Lane Kiffin to complain about.
Yeah.
That's because he's been at big programs. Like, he knows that it's always been that way. Like, he knows that what Alabama was doing. He knows what USC was doing. He knows what he was probably doing here to get, you know, Bryce Brown and the types.
Oh, I'm sure he knows. Yeah.
Yeah. But now he's crying after he chose a good Ole Miss. Like, you could have been at a big boy.
Then had Orgeron take all of our guys with him, you know.
Right. Yeah.
But, he knows exactly what's going on. I wonder what the end game is, like, as far as how good can we get? That's what I'm really trying to figure out. How much money are we willing to go?
I don't know if it's going to come down to money. I don't know if it's going to come down to, like, you know, Tennessee putting another year on the, you know, on record, on the books of, you know, being good on offense and also having some defensive linemen, like, you know, Matthew Butler get drafted and have some guys do really good at tackles for loss. And, you know, Lance Taylor still got drafted, you know, pretty high for Josh Heupel. Yep. So, like, I mean, it might take some of that. It might take, you know, Hendon Hooker coming here and showing again, like, this offense, how explosive it can be. And if Tennessee's a top two or three offense in the country and you have, you know, the big five-star quarterback Nico coming in next year, like, you would think that that would continue to help. I will say that, like, for as good as we're talking about Tennessee's recruiting, has, you know, as good at recruiting as they have been recently, still hanging around number 12 on 247. Mm-hmm. It was a big weekend for Florida.
Oh, I thought they were like number 5.
Tennessee?
Yeah.
Well, we were, and then
other teams.
Other teams started.
Apparently, other people recruit too.
Yes. Yeah. Other people started recruiting too.
Yeah. Well.
And I mean, when you actually get down to the blue chipper list that you were talking about, we have 1 5-star on 247.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people would also throw Shandavian Bradley, the the five-star edge rusher from Missouri. He's not on 247, but some people would say, you know, he's a blue chipper as well. Tennessee has 1 5-star and 7 4-stars, an average class ranking that comes in over 90, which is good, but, you know, you're trailing some people there, even, you know, USC, who's behind you. So Tennessee is probably going to be somewhere around, like, you know, 14th or 15th when it all is said and done, depending on how they finish.
So it's going to kind of shake out like it normally does, I guess. We'll be, like, middle of the road.
Perhaps. I mean, that looks probably likely at this point. Maybe you get back up to, like, 10. You know, I'd have to see how we finish. You
it's kind of just where we've been, like, the last – I don't know, 10 years, 15 years or so. Really, when you look at, like, the coaches and the records we've had over that time, though, we've kind of underachieved based on our –
Definitely underachieved. We're always –
Based on our talent.
We're always in the top 15 when they do, like, the talent rankings, right? Whenever they're talking about the star rankings and who has the, you know, the FPI and, like, the –
We should be, like, Wisconsin every year. Kinda.
Probably. Yeah, probably.
But I guess that's, you know, again, playing Alabama and Georgia every year hurts
that, too.
And
even Florida when they're good, too. Like, Wisconsin pretty much just has to worry about, like, Ohio State. Like, then they look at Michigan kind of as a
They get to play in that other division.
Yeah.
Like, whereas Michigan, Penn State, Michigan State, they're all on that side.
Right. I am interested to see, you know, what another draft class does, because I saw one mock draft that had Big Sed Tillman going at, I think, number 26, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's fun to watch. I couldn't name you many of the guys on our roster right now, but
name him.
But Cedric Tillman, him and Hooker, like, that was last year, that was a lot of fun.
I think that Tillman's going to end this season as the second all-time leading receiver at Tennessee, which is absurd.
I can see that, yeah.
But, like, I think that that's
a deep yardage.
Yeah, I think he's going to be number two. And if I was betting right now, and I don't know what kind of odds I would need, but, like, I feel confident that he will leave here as the second receiver on our all-time yards list, and I think that he will break Robert Meacham's record for most yards in a season.
How many does he need?
To break the single-season record, it's 1,298. So basically 100 yards a game, if you count a bowl game. Because bowl games
1,298 count. Is the record?
Yep, Robert Meacham did that.
06?
In 06, yep.
Yeah, I remember the first game of 06 against Cal.
Yep.
When he was just, I mean, he was unstoppable. He was fun to watch.
Of that 1,296 yards, I mean, 700 of them probably just on, like, 5-yard hitch routes that he then turned around and just ran away from everybody.
Yeah.
Now, he was a monster, but I think, I mean, last year Tillman had 1,081 yards.
Yeah.
And, like, that was with getting off to a pretty slow start and not having a full offseason as the go-to guy, not having Hooker out there looking for him the entire time. Like, you know, he had basically 150 yards through the first four games.
If he basically dropped that 1,300 yards this next year, on top of that, he would be third on the list all time.
Yeah, right now he's got, I want to say for his career, like 1,200 yards.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I didn't even realize
he has 1,200 yards, and he, to get into third place, 1,300 yards are put in there. Marcus Nash is currently second at 2,447. And he's at 1,200 right now. So
he would be at second.
He's 1,250 yards to be the second all-time leading receiver at Tennessee, which sounds absurd. When you think about how many wide receivers we've had and put in the NFL and, you know, playing with Peyton Manning. And now, obviously, there's the caveat of the passing game being different now in 2022 than it ever has been before, like when it comes to offenses and number of plays. But again, if you turn Cedric Tillman, who was, let's face it, pretty much an afterthought to everyone, if all of a sudden he's a first-round receiver and the second all-time leading receiver at Tennessee, you would think, Cody, to bring that back full circle, you would think that would help recruiting. You would think that would catch the attention of people. To take Hendon Hooker, who is, you know, pretty much left for dead at Virginia Tech, to turn him into an NFL type of quarterback, a guy who might be getting invited to New York if Tennessee can go 9-3.
That would be something.
He's going to have the stats. You would think yardage-wise and touchdown-wise is if he stays healthy and this offense clicks. And, like, again, if Tennessee goes at least 9-3 and beats Florida and beats Pitt.
He might get an invite.
I would say so.
I mean, the Alabama quarterback and the Ohio State quarterback, you know, are going to be there.
For sure. So, and some years they only take two. Some years, or I think three is the lowest I've seen. But, like, sometimes they take five.
I remember when Glenn Dorsey was there back in the day.
They let him go.
D-tackle. You think
same for Sue.
If Heupel is here, you think five more years, will he get a receiver that breaks the single-season record?
I just say it was going to happen this year.
If it's not,
I just said it's going to happen this year.
A friend of mine posed the question.
Tell your friend that Cedric Tillman is going to break the record this year.
Okay. So the answer is yes.
He was fourth on the list last year. And again, he basically took the first four games off.
I guess, you know, saying it's not Tillman, will there be another guy maybe? He's probably not going to be here for 5 years, though. That's unheard of.
I mean, that I don't know. A single season, I mean, wasn't that something that stood out at UCF is that, like, all those guys kind of ate equally? I feel like we looked at their stats, and they were all basically, like, 700 or 800 yards all across the board.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you want, really.
It is, unless you have Tillman, who, you know, is a matchup nightmare. I mean, he's big and fast and can catch.
Well, who do we have behind him that can share the workload? Because
this season?
Yeah, because that will matter in terms of, like, how he's covered and everything.
And last year, you know, you had some help there with Velus Jones, but, I mean, like
– he's gone.
But outside of Velus, I mean, like, I know that Peyton, you know, had some big plays, but, I mean, the depth of the wide receiver core probably should be a little better this year because I think everyone's raving about Hyatt. Like, maybe we get fooled because he had a pretty good – he flashed a couple of times his freshman season, right? Like, he beat Patrick Surtain twice in the same game, like – months before he was the first-round pick. Like, he got behind him twice and kind of burnt him. And then, you know, last year was kind of lost and wasn't into the season, wasn't strong enough, wasn't focused, didn't know the playbook well enough, which is kind of scary because everything everyone tells me is the playbook's pretty simple in terms of, like,
basic
for receivers.
System.
Yeah. But everyone is raving about him this offseason. He's put on weight, he's stronger, and he's focused. So I would say that's a pretty good number two this year.
If you can have a guy take some of the load off, that'll be good for Tillman.
I just think when you look at Tillman's
numbers
game
wise,
log, yeah, I mean, I just think when you look at Tillman's game log, like when you see what he did in the bowl game, 150 yards, 3 touchdowns on 7 catches, and you see what he did against Georgia and that defense, 10 catches, 200 yards and a touchdown, and Alabama, 7 catches, 152 yards and a touchdown. Like,
you can do it against the best.
Yeah, it's not like he beat up on bad teams. He showed up in the big moments. He had a touchdown, you know, the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the last 7 games of the year. Had a touchdown every game of the year. And then 3 in the bowl game and 2 against Vanderbilt to end the season. So, like, I think that the single season receiving touchdowns might that's 13.
Yeah, he almost had it last year.
That'd be cool.
He had 12 last year. Like, I think
if he gets 12 again, he'll be second all time in touchdowns here.
Who holds the touchdown mark?
For single season, Marcus Nash.
Oh, okay.
Who was one spot ahead of Cedric Wilson and one spot ahead of Cedric Tillman from last year. Just kind of odd that number two is both two Cedrics. And then career-wise, I mean, how many did we say he had last year? 12?
12. Kent's at 25.
Receiving touchdown. Yeah, the leader right now is Joey Kent with 25. So, like, Tillman has a chance.
Could be done.
Could be done. The yards, I don't think he can get because he needs – yards is 2,800 for Joey Kent, so like he'd have to have, you know, a 1,700 yard season, which I think that's a tough ask.
would be nice though. Yeah. I think we'd have a good year if he has 1,700 yards.
I mean, there have been some receivers do it before.
Yeah,
in college.
I mean, didn't Addison have 18? Or didn't I mean Alabama guys had some that had 1,800? I think didn't Devonta Smith have that? Which,
I want to say,
which obviously, like, we're playing a different.
He's a Heisman.
Here. Yeah.
If he gets 1,800 yards, he might be a Heisman.
I don't think he's getting that, but I do think he gets 1,300. 1,300 and 13 touchdowns.
Well, that's only one more 500 yard game.
Just with this offense, man, I just think all these records are about to start falling. 100 yards a game and a touchdown, like, that's my expectation for Tillman. Which I know it might seem a little unfair, but
I think it's fair
as long as he stays healthy.
Yeah. Smith had 1,856.
Okay,
which
I thought so.
Seventh all time.
Yeah.
There was a kid at Western Kentucky last year that apparently had 1,900.
Oh, man.
Devontae Smith had 1,856.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was all getting hurt.
Seventh all time?
And that was getting hurt in, like, the championship game, too. Like, you remember, like, he had, I want to say he missed the last 3 quarters of that game, didn't he?
In the
national championship. Maybe I'm misremembering.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
I thought he got hurt.
He did
get
hurt. Yeah, he was, I mean, he was something else.
Jeez.
I just think the offense is obviously, like, going to be going really fast, getting a bunch of plays, and I just expect big things. And we have seen one thing from Josh Heupel, and that's that he's willing to overwhelm teams.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that comes more so on the ground than in the air, but, like, you know, we score quickly and we score in bunches, and, like, we don't really take our foot off the gas until the game's, you know, 30 points in hand. Man.
I do like that.
Getting excited for football.
It's nice to watch a team get in the 50s and 60s, you know.
I would like a little bit more defense, but it is nice knowing when you get the ball that you can score, you know, at any point from anywhere on the field.
Yep.
Trevor Inslee is the all-time college leader in receiving yards.
Mm-hmm.
For one season?
2,060 yep. during his senior year. Where did he play?
Nevada.
Ah, well.
It's when it was like the Big West Nevada. Back in the late 90s.
Jared wants to know if you know who Brew McCoy is.
He's on the team. He's a receiver.
Okay. Take that, Jared. I think he's trying to clown you. He says, I say no, but you know.
How many, like, players? Do you know the roster pretty well?
Yeah. Come on, man. I'm a professional.
Yeah.
Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on the Fan Run Radio. Well, how you feeling so far? 2 hours and 38 minutes down.
Oh, it's. I was a little nervous at first, but now it's just like, you know, we've done this 1,000 times. It's just like it used to be.
Anybody offered any words of encouragement or anything?
No, not really.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, people seem to be listening today. Yeah. That'll fade.
Yeah.
You know, that'll.
Once the novelty wears off.
Yeah. Yeah. I was thinking coming into this week needs to be good.
Yeah.
We need to try to be good this week, and then after this, it's like, you know, we can just kind of whatever.
Well, after this.
Whatever happens.
After this, it'll basically be game week, and, like, you can
that's true.
Do anything.
Yeah. That's true.
As you mentioned, the Vols once every hour to fill that quota.
Yeah. Okay. I'm definitely going to have to start, like, studying sports again.
There was a time where you were a nut. But also, there was also a time where I could carry you enough to where you didn't matter. I don't know if I'm at that point anymore either, where I could carry you and be able to, like, fake it for the both of us, or actually me know it and help you fake.
Well,
it.
Well, you still can. Like, I always used to tell people that you're like a junkie, you know, which I think you have to be in your position as like the host.
But I'm not a junkie.
You're more of a junkie than I am.
Well, that doesn't mean that I'm a junkie, though. You're like at 10%. If I'm at 15%, that's more than you.
Yeah, well, I'm more than 10%.
Well, like, I'm just using that as an example.
My whole thing is, like, I love sports, but just talking about it all the time is hard for me. Like, because I don't love it.
Back to 3 hours.
Yeah, I know. I know. I love it, but I don't love it any more than, like, music or comedy or, like, whatever else. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, it's an equal part of my life, but it's not, like, my main focus. You love it way more than me.
No, I feel the same way. I would much rather talk about movies and TV shows.
But you watch games.
Or at least equal. If I gamble on it, otherwise.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what it all
it was more so
to.
Like a gambling addiction is probably more so. But I've been cut back on that. So, like, now I just watch TV and movies or read.
Do you?
But not really. I say I'm a reader, but.
I love to read.
I know, but I'm trying to get through 12 books. I'm only on book 5, and it's.
12 in what, a year?
Well, yeah. I mean,
that's doable.
One a month. I know, but I've fallen behind.
Well, maybe you need to choose different books.
That's all. It always takes me a while to get into new books. And this one I'm reading now is not very good.
Does it have a lot of pictures?
No. I could tell.
That's the issue.
I was reading a couple of good authors back-to-back that would actually use words that I would look up. I'd try to learn new words. And then I get to this new Schmohawk, and he's just not a very good writer. And he's using – like, it's just not – the story's not captivating. He's not doing a good job of, like, painting the picture.
Who is it?
I don't know who it is, but it's about Waco.
Let's attack this author.
I'm reading about Waco, and, like, the guy just hasn't captivated me. Maybe the story's just not captivating. Like, maybe
the Waco story? That Netflix thing was pretty good.
Yeah, I haven't watched it, so I came in – I mean, I kind of know what happens, but, like, it just – the book hasn't been very good so far. It's, like, in the Ashes of Waco or something is what it's called. I don't know. It was highly recommended on Amazon, but
– I feel like cults are interesting, generally speaking.
I love the Jamestown book – or the Jonestown book, excuse me, the Jonestown book about Jim
Jones.
That's
when they drank the Kool-Aid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Flavor-Aide, actually.
Imagine having, like, such a
Kool-Aid people got very mad. Like, it wasn't Kool-Aid, it was Flavor-Aide.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was really bad for their brand.
It was the knockoff version of Kool-Aid. It was Flavor-Aide.
Yeah. Yeah. Everybody just deflects to Kool-Aid.
And the people that didn't drink Kool-Aid got shots of cyanide against their will.
Oh. So, really, it wasn't an elective.
For a lot of people it was, but there were some people, including children, that didn't want to do it, and babies, and they're like, we're getting a shot regardless.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. But then it was a little too late.
God, that would suck to be like a baby born into a cult family.
Yeah.
And you're like, you never get a shot at life because your parents are such nuts.
There's an audio. There's an hour long like audio of like the final like last hour of Jonestown.
Ooh, of like people's
his final speech and like some people like one woman
like reacting
and one woman being like, "This isn't right. We don't have to do this." And like him basically being like, "It's too late." And like, baby's crying. And all of a sudden, it's very very quiet.
Ooh, you hear the people dying.
You can't really hear them dying. You just hear silence.
You know what it is.
Yeah. You know what it is. And you're just like, "Oh man,
that's kind of dark."
Very dark. But I mean, 1,000 people died.
Yeah,
it was.
I mean,
it was very dark.
They kind of got what they were asking for. Sad.
Were a lot of people that believed. There were a lot of people that went down believing. So like, did get what they asked for, but you know, were wrong and him being a deity or whatever. But
I don't know. I feel bad for people like that get like into the whole conspiracy side of things, or not conspiracy, but like just things that are, that most people of a certain IQ know are not true.
See, that was what was surprising, is there were like lawyers and that had been like converted and like came up. So it was like not all just like dumb poor people. It was some people that were like smart and just actually like believed in socialism. It was a socialist movement is essentially what it was.
I guess Bear's here. He just flipped me off in the window. Speaking of a guy that could get into a cult, huh?
I don't think they'd let him. And I was going to say, speaking of God, the guy who keeps calling himself God, Kevin Durant is apparently believed by one NBA executive that he's more likely to retire than play for the Nets again. There's a growing expectation that KD could cause, quote, a ruckus, which is a great phrase, to cause a ruckus. Cause a ruckus to get the Nets to make a trade. Do you have any KD thoughts since you've been gone?
I have not watched. Okay, so my friend that I lived with my first year in Nashville, he did like the NBA. So I watched the bubble. I watched quite a bit of the bubble playoffs.
Okay.
And that Lakers championship.
Sure.
And but like in the last year, I've not paid much attention.
Okay. Let me bring up to speed. Kevin Durant played with Kyrie Irving.
I knew he was with the Nets. James Harden was there, right?
Well, they traded James Harden to Philadelphia. Yeah. Yep. Then Ben Simmons came and then didn't play. And then, Kyrie had already made people mad because he didn't get vaccinated, which, I mean, it turns out Kyrie is a visionary on that, am I right?
And do they even work anyway?
That's I don't know. I just saw a story of the guy that had 4 shots and he's got COVID for the second time.
4 shots and he got it anyway. Yeah. It's almost like they don't work.
They didn't work.
I kind of regret getting one. I never got the boosters, though. I just got the first.
Well, I had 4, so the boosters didn't work.
Yeah.
Boosters didn't work.
Yeah.
But so then Kevin Durant was unhappy. Kyrie wanted to force himself to the Lakers. That didn't work. So then Kyrie's going to stay with Brooklyn. And then Durant was like, hey, I still want out. And I fired Steve Nash and the GM, Sean Marks. And then still want out. And now Kevin Durant is apparently willing to threaten retirement to get out, which I don't believe. I don't believe, but that's the latest intel coming out of the association.
A wise man once told me when Kevin Durant hurt his Achilles that he might not be the same afterward, and I always wondered if he would ever be the same. Turns out he's still really good, though.
He was still really good. I don't think he was quite as good, but maybe
he put up like huge numbers, didn't he, in the play in his last game before they got knocked out last year
against the Bucks? He tried to carry them that series, and almost he had a bad overtime, but no one held it against him because he had the shot to tie it and send it to overtime in Game 7, and then just completely fell apart in overtime. But by then he was playing 48 minutes a game, and it didn't work out. I will say that like maybe he just wasn't the same mentally though.
That's half the battle. I mean, that's got a lot to do with. Do you think you've grown mentally in the last year? You were talking about reading. Do you feel like you're a better person now than you were 2 years ago?
Yeah, I do.
That's good.
Yeah. I don't know if it's true or not, but I feel like I do more experiences now. I go places now.
You do?
I'm traveling.
You travel.
I went to California.
No, I noticed, yeah.
I went to California.
I saw you were traveling, yeah. I bet you didn't like it, did you? You thought
California.
L.A. was dirty?
No. I'll be honest.
It is dirty.
I didn't do enough to like have a full thing. I liked driving on the freeways and stuff and LAX.
If you want to drive on freeways, that's a place to do it.
I had a whole debacle at LAX. I could leave that, I could take care of leave that place. I didn't like LAX. But, no, I enjoyed the scenery and the weather was perfect.
It's nice to have palm trees wherever
you're at. I'm a
festival
guy. I went to a festival, just out here.
Did you go over to Coachella?
No. I went to a different one. Not Coachella.
Oh, okay.
This one was lower key.
Oh, I saw that. Palomino, it was like a Americana kind of. Yeah. Where's that at?
It was in the Rose Bowl.
Oh, that's where I saw the Stones.
But were they actually like on the Rose Bowl field?
Yeah.
Well, they weren't. This wasn't actually on the Rose Bowl field, which is a little disappointing because I thought it was, but it wasn't. It was.
That's like cool though that we have that in common. That we both saw musical acts at the Rose Bowl.
We're brothers.
That's a nice area too, Pasadena.
Great area.
Yeah,
I had a good
time. They keep most of the homeless out of there.
Yeah, I didn't see very much homeless.
No. They used to just be like Skid Row, but now they're everywhere. That's what's crazy about out there is you can go from like Tom Cruise's house or whoever, and literally you go down the hill like to Sunset, and it's just lined with tents. The disparity is big.
I've seen some places in LA they're building double decker shanties now for the homeless people. Like the homeless are evolving, and
they need to just build like one mega tower and just call it the homeless building and make it like a 100-story building. And like,
would you rather live on the top of that or the bottom of that? Top floor or bottom floor of the homeless tower?
I mean, the smell would probably be worse at the top.
I just feel like it's most likely to fall. But like if you're on the bottom, like it falls on you. So like,
if you were in a 100-story tower with homeless people, I don't want to sound mean, but you know, a lot of those people have drug issues. Like, would you trust like 100 stories of drug addicts for that?
No,
building might fall.
Maybe you think so?
I don't know.
2022 NBA Christmas Day schedule. Kevin Durant's uncertainty left Brooklyn off the list. Brooklyn might be the title favorites if they all stay together, but they will not be one of the 10 teams getting showcased by the association. We got Bucks, Celtics, Sixers, Knicks. Those damn Knicks. Suns, Nuggets, Lakers, Mavs. Oh, I guess we got to watch LeBron James. And Grizzlies, Warriors. That's your Christmas Day matchups. Which, me personally, I'm glad we're not playing on Christmas Cam. That way,
yeah, it's football to watch.
Yeah, I'm just watching the NFL, bro. Packers at Dolphins, Broncos at Rams, and Bucks at Cardinals. That's much better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call here on the program. It was good to have you back. My heart is full. Let's play some Pump the Brakes. Cam, what do you got?
I got Roller Coaster.
No. Give it to me. Somebody.
Dozens injured in Legoland roller coaster crash in Germany.
Legoland. Sounds like there's going to be a bunch of kids on it.
One person suffered severe but not life-threatening injuries, and 15 people were taken to a hospital. Amongst the 31 people injured on the crash, the cause was not immediately clear, but they're working on it. But, it was the second roller coaster accident in that country this year.
This was at Legoland?
Yeah, in Germany.
And how many people were injured?
31.
Oh.
Who knew they?
Turns out 28 of them just stepped on the loose Legos and hurt their feet. No, they had less more serious injuries.
What a easy, corny joke that was still made me laugh.
Not my best work.
Still made me laugh. I can see why you're back from Nashville.
Yeah. This is what we wanted, getting this guy back. So these does Cam just do this now?
And then you got one. I usually make Cam go first.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how we were doing
that. You ready to go?
Thought maybe you changed.
You got a story?
Rudy Giuliani.
Feels like something to roll on. I'm not gonna roll on your first one. I really should have rolled on your first one, but it made you scramble. But I just feel like when you tell Rudy Giuliani is in a weird position where you could tell me anything about him. First of all, when I hear the name, I'm assuming it's going to be bad and embarrassing because everything has been bad and embarrassing for him since 9/11. Like basically since like a year after 9/11, everything has been bad and embarrassing for him.
Well, he had a really high.
So I'm saying it looked like he was going to somehow parlay his city getting attacked into like the presidency, and then now he's like a punchline. But what's up with Rudy Giuliani?
He is a target of a probe into, as in like an investigation, not an actual probe like the Borat video. But apparently Georgia
about the Borat video because it seemed like he was.
Don't know.
I wondered so much about that.
How much it was edited? Because the shirt tuck in thing was a pretty good like excuse, but like also like it just gave me really weird vibes. Yeah.
But did he really just go in there like not knowing like how did they get that to happen? Like
he's an idiot.
Just going to do an interview.
That's pretty weird. Anyway, they're looking into him. I guess they think he interfered in some election in Georgia.
Shout out to that girl for that Borat movie, though. She's parlayed into a lot of roles now.
She was in that Bodies, yeah, movie I went to see. She was one of the main characters, if not the main character.
Yeah.
The Borat sequel, you know, not bad, actually.
It wasn't terrible, yeah.
It was kind of funny.
Yeah. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
I actually don't even know if I ever watched the first one. I just watched the second one.
Really?
Well, I just said I thought that.
How do you not watch Borat? It's been around 20 years.
I watched the second one. Maybe I heard enough, like, from people referencing that
just references like filled the movie out.
I've seen parts of it. Like, I've seen him and, like, the fat guy getting into a fight, like, when they're naked. Azamat. Yeah, like, I saw that. Like, maybe I watched it, but I don't know if I actually ever did.
Do not come near me, Gypsy.
Did watch the sequel, though. Strangely enough. Cody, I'll see you tomorrow. The Drive's up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.